Now, turning our attention to a separate issue, Leaper has played a key history and role in the history of this county and indeed in the history of Killarney as a destination, as a place of employment, as a place of engineering innovation. And with me on the line is Tom Foley, who's written a book on the history of Leaper in Killarney. It'll be in the shops from tomorrow following its launch today. Tom, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry.
Tell me your story. Why did you write this book about Leaper?
Well, it's a kind of a long, and there's a long answer to that, Jerry. I was working with a company for 46 years. I started there when I was 17 years of age, way back in 1963. And I worked in various positions there, like positions that made it necessary for me to know the company well and to know its history. And I suppose it was an ambition I always had that when I retired that I would like to write a book. And I was very lucky in so far as that this was supported by the management at the time and also by the Leaper family, who both supported the idea of writing a book. So I retired 13 years ago. And it was a few years since until I started writing. So I finished a book just a few months ago, really. I finished it. And it's, as I said, it was an ambition of mine for the 46 years I worked at the company. They were a great company. I worked with great people. And I thought I owed it to the company, and I thought I owed it to the great people I worked with for so long.
What is it about Leaper that makes it and made it such a great place, such a success story from when it started in Killarney?
Well, there's many reasons, I suppose, Jerry. You know, first of all, the fact that it has endured so long. I mean, it's there since 1959 and it's still going as strong as ever, you know. I mean, over the years, many companies have come and gone in Ireland, and Leaper still endures, and it's a fantastic employer. You know, it implies, the factory alone implies about 800 people, and the hotels about approximately, say, 200 more. And then in the Killarney area, about 150 subcontracting jobs depend on Leaper. So if you add it all up, it comes to about 1,200 people employed there, and which is for a small, a relatively small community, like, it's a phenomenal thing, like, you know.
Yeah.
I suppose that makes it special. What the other thing that makes it special is that it's the Leaper organization is totally 100% family owned by the Leaper family, and they have a tremendous loyalty to Killarney, and they have shown this loyalty in many ways over the last 65 years, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, there were times when the things were not so good there, you know, when orders were bad there, and, you know, but they stayed with it through thick and thin. And as I said earlier on, the company not just survived, but it progressed and it expanded, and it went from success to success.
Yeah. Why did Hans Leaper pick Killarney? Why did he pick Ireland?
That's one of the big parts of my story, Jerry. There was a little bit of chance involved in that. Now, he started in Germany. He built his first crane in 1949, and he was located in the southern part of Germany, and he was a long way from ports, and his business took off very quickly, and then he was because there was a big building boom going on in the UK,
yeah,
at the
post-war
time.
Post-war Germany, yeah, the
That's
Marshall
correct.
Plan.
And he was supplying cranes from southern Germany, and they'd have to travel hundreds of miles overland before they'd come to port, and then they were shipped to the UK. So he wanted to come nearer to the UK and also to take advantage of the Commonwealth. And I suppose by chance, really, in November 1955, the IDEA sent a trade mission to Frankfurt, and they met Hans Leaper there, and they obviously, whatever they told him about Ireland, it made him interested.
He liked the sound of it.
he liked the sound of it, and he contacted the idea shortly afterwards, and he asked for a meeting, and I think the meeting happened sometime in early 1956, and there was a meeting in Germany. The idea went to Germany to meet him, and Lieber's first visit to Ireland was in March 1957. Now, the interesting thing about that was he didn't come to Ireland to look at Killarney, because he had other sites. There were other sites on his list, and the idea at the time were trying to direct him towards a site in Mallow. And there was also he also had an interest in Kinsale, but when his stay was booked in Ireland, the nearest hotel that his secretary knew would satisfy his standards was in the Great Southern Hotel Killarney. So he stayed there, and some of the local people found out that he was staying there, and they went to meet him, and that's where it all started, really.
He came to the hotel, they knew he was there, so they said, listen, they forget those other places, Killarney's the place for you.
Yeah, correct. They went to meet him, and the following morning they took him out and they showed him what Killarney looked like. And the minute he stood up in the heights of Ahidore, he looked down the Killarney lakes, he fell in love with Killarney, and the decision was more or less made from there on.
And from that point, Tom, I know in your book you talk about the it takes one thing to have the man behind the business and the investment, but it takes the labour being available, and the people who sign up to it and train and work, and many of the people of Killarney and around Kerry have done so for decades. That's a key part
absolutely.
Of the success story as well.
Absolutely, and the important thing to to note, Jerry, is that that was 1958, and Killarney was a rural area, if we like, at the time, and there was no experience of industrialization there. There was only one business there, a significant business there, which was Hillard and Palmer boot and shoe factory, So there was no skills in the area, and so when Lieber arrived in Killarney, he had to build his factory, and then he had to develop the skills, and where the workers they came there, and they were all farmers and shoemakers and blacksmiths and you name it. They had to learn those skills, and it is a tremendous credit to those people that they were able to pick up the skills very rapidly, and get the whole factory off the ground. But over the years, I reckon there must have been about 10,000 people over the years worked for Lieber at various times.
Yeah, and there was the other side then of the Germans who came here with Hans Lieber or because of Hans Lieber and settled.
Correct. Yeah. Now there was a good few came over. When I say good few, possibly 50 to 60 Germans came over with Lieber that time, and they were basically involved in just getting the factory off the ground and training the Irish workers, and of course they were also involved in the building as well. But over the years their number decreased, and right now there's no more possibly than I'm only guessing, but possibly 5 to 10 Germans working there now at the moment, and right now it's almost completely Irish managed,
Yeah, and that's the important thing. Tom, look, it's a great story and certainly worth telling, and for people to learn more. It's a huge success story. And what would you put down finally to why it has lasted as long as it did and is still as thriving with all the international competition that's there, all the changing times and recessions and booms and recessions again? What is it that makes Killarney and Lieber work together?
Well, I think two things. I think, Johnny, fantastic people that worked there over the years. They were really brilliant people who worked there, and I know that because I worked with them for 46 years. That's one thing. And the second thing, the huge loyalty that Lieber had for Killarney, the huge loyalty and the love he had for Lieber. And, Hans Lieber died in 1993, and it's now owned by the second and third generation of the Lieber family. And it's really amazing, like, that that love has continued on to the second and third generations of the Labour family. So that's really why I think that the place has endured, and it's going, as I said earlier on, it's going from strength to strength.
Yeah, certainly is. That is. Did he ever? And look, there's always myths when it comes to creation stories. Tom, did he ever consider Finnet or Tralee to be closer to the sea?
No, there was many aspects of the story that I spent a lot of time investigating, and this was one. It was a popular notion at the time that he met a Tralee businessman, and that he wasn't impressed with their enthusiasm, shall I say? But now I could not prove that beyond any reasonable doubt, Jerry, I have to say. Now, I do know that Lieber, on his first visit in 1957, he did visit Tralee and he did visit Finnet. But I think the purpose of his visit was to examine the port facilities of
where
of
he Finnet. The port closest to Killarney that he'd made his decision.
Correct, yeah. And it was not in consideration of Tralee as a possible location for his factory. That's my opinion. But as I say, there's a little bit of haze about that whole story. Like,
there is.
It's a popular thing like that.
That's out there that this happened.
And he was unimpressed by their enthusiasm. I can't prove that for definite. I can't really say it. But he did definitely visit Tralee on his first visit. Tralee and Finnet.
Tom, you're all going to be in the Europe Hotel this evening, 6:30. All welcome.
All welcome. Absolutely open invitation. Anyone that wants to come is more than welcome. We'd love to see them there.
Brilliant stuff, Tom. Great stuff, and well done on it. And congratulations. Thanks for talking to me in the program this morning.
Okay, Johnny. You're very welcome indeed.